Hi, Morgan. Welcome to the Retrix Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a former video game writer, or can I guess I say a video game writer on leave, but at the moment I'm focused on books. I wrote video games for almost 20 years, and then last fall decided to take a break to focus on my books for a bit. And thankfully, right at that time, I managed to sell my first book, A Spell for Midwinter's Heart, and now I'm doing that thing, writing books. It's been great so far.
So talk to us about video game writing. Like, what does some look like? I grew up in the 80s, so first consoles, Atari, Nintendo, and all the different iterations. But it's interesting, the industry has grown since we probably were children to what it is. And so you've been doing this for 20 years. So what does it look like? Like, what does it actually entail?
Yeah, what does it mean? It's funny because the job has meant many different things depending on what kind of game I was working on, what the company structure was like, how big it was. Because there were times where my job really overlapped with video game design, and I'd be writing the world building and the characters and all the text and dialogue, but I'd also be doing things like thinking about how we tell the story in the game and designing systems for that. And sometimes even putting in content too that people are actually playing. I mean, or most of the time doing that too. But then other companies, I would really be able to focus on larger projects or really narrative-driven projects. I really would get to focus on the writing, and that would be most of my job. And so, yeah, it looks really different too based on genre. Like I mentioned, that some of the games I've worked on are very narrative-driven, and those games would have a lot of really strongly scripted moments, cinematic moments, or long sections where you're hearing and experiencing a lot of narrative. But I've also worked on games that were very action-oriented, or multiplayer games where a lot of the writing is just really short and is really utility-driven, really focused on basically telling you how to play the game in the most interesting way possible. And if you can give it some nice little world building and resonance to the world that you've created, it's good. But at the end of the day, what it really needs to do is communicate you've successfully shot or you're throwing a grenade, or somebody else is throwing a grenade at you. And so sometimes you're writing stuff that's really functional, and sometimes you're writing stuff that's actually very narrative-y. And so the job really asks you to stretch yourself in many different directions.
Yeah. No, as I think about it, because I read your book, I was like, oh, it makes sense. Like, you had a world building. Like, it's not just a regular rom-com with witches and, like, specific things. There's actually a world that we're taken to. It's set in the real world, too, but there's this magical aspect that, as someone who comes from a long line of witches, that we did practice things, actually, in my real life. I felt compelled. I was like, oh, it makes sense in this real world, but it's so unknown and there's so much shame around it and there's specifics. Mm-hmm. So now I can see your background actually can translate into this book. And it probably helps not just a romance, a contemporary romance, but there's actually a world that entails with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there are some things that translated over really well between games and books. And that's one of them, world building, absolutely. And there's the other things that were more challenging were things like pacing, which were totally different. Like the pacing of a book is so different than the pacing of a video game, where the players are really in control of how they engage with that story. Yeah. And then other things kind of met in the middle. I think I've dialogue, for example, that carries over a lot from video games as well. And in fact, often I would find that I would write a scene, just the dialogue, because I'm so used to that, only having the dialogue to communicate a scene. And then I would go through and build out the scene. But but world building, of course, is definitely something that carries over. And as you say, it's set in the real world, but it's also definitely a place that is also very constructed for the story being told, for the people who inhabit it. I was just remarking yesterday at one of my events about how you probably couldn't find a town exactly like this in Washington, but it's okay because that's not the point. The point is the story being told and what is said about this place and who lives there and who's welcome and invited there. And so took some liberties.
Yes, I felt very like cozy and comforting. And as someone, I've talked to quite a few cozier authors who are writing in this cozier space right now, it's a comfort. And I know it's a reflection of what we've been going through the past 5 years, where we're looking for an escape. And this is like a fun escape that we can control it, that we can actually feel. And in Roman space, we know the ending is going to be fine. Everyone's going to be alive. Everyone's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then the couple will be together, which is always a plus. And I think in some ways, it's like, it just gives you that space of comforting, of like a good escape when the news are so terrible, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about transitioning over from video game writing and just being in the space into writing books. You mentioned a little bit about transition, about like the differences between one and the other, but what was it like for you to go into decide to do this side quest pivot?
Writing books was basically my first love when I was younger. I mean, I also wrote, I suppose my first, when I was really young, I would just write short stories. But then as a teenager, I actually wrote a lot of serialized novels for other teenagers. Yeah. Teen people used to have this feature online where they would have every 6 weeks, they'd pick a few teen writers to like, to write serialized novels for other teens that would visit their, not website, their section on AOL. This is how old I am. Yeah, yeah. And so I used to write them back then. And then I went to school originally for theater and then creative writing eventually. And before I was done with that degree, where I really thought I would go off to graduate school, continue writing books, I had the chance to write my first game. And that just became the thing, right? I got swept up in it and it was great. And I've had a lot of great years, a lot of great projects, a lot of great teams, made so many friends. But certainly approaching like that second decade of it, I really did need a little bit of a change, yeah. Especially because of the pandemic. I experienced a pretty bad burnout, and it can be a tough industry in terms of just what the demands are. And especially if you're a parent, I have two little kids, and I think this felt right for now. And it's like, hey, let's go back to that first love for a bit and see how that feels. Yeah. And like I was saying, I don't actually like to think of myself as a former game dev because I would like to do it again. But at the moment, I'm very content to do this, especially with, it's so much easier to make this work with my busy mom schedule too, because I can fit the writing around the rest of my life as opposed to like having to fit the rest of my life around my 40-hour work week. So
yeah. Yeah, I love this idea of like you just pursue it, but not closing the door, not closing the door. Like if another project comes in, you'll pursue it. If not, but you have this place to use your skills, use your creative space, and have freedom to and the flexibility to pursue it at your own terms. Sometimes when you actually have to work for writing, like or have to do something for a job, you lose its fun. You lose its luster. Yeah. And obviously, if you're doing this long enough, like there will be times where like there's burnout and there's a sense of like, it's a job. It's not that exciting.
Yeah. I know people burn out of novel writing too. Like it can happen with anything. And I was definitely a little bit worried, like, had I burned out of any kind of writing? And thankfully, that doesn't seem to be true. It's like, I am able to do this one in a way that my nervous system doesn't hate.
So let's talk about spells for Midwinter's Heart. Mm-hmm. What is the elevator pitch?
The elevator pitch is that we have a witch who has sworn off her magic. She hasn't done it in 8 years. And she's also been avoiding home at the holidays because for the witches, Yule is such a magical time, especially with how they invest in this magical wintry festival. But this year she has to go back because there's no snow and her coven needs her to help them bring back the snow, to help bring life back to the winter festival. And she finds out that it's also under threat from buyout from this corporation. The landlord might sell off the land. And so once she's there, the situation deepens. And she also along the way finds out that her former childhood rival, academic rival, but also a little bit of family rivalry too, that he is also trying to save the festival. And so they have to work together to figure out how they might save it. And of course, as I won't take credit for this, it was, I believe my editor wrote this, their chemistry keeps literally setting off the lights. And so that complicates their desire to save the festival.
Yes, I have to tell you, I love their meet happening, like revisiting their meet cute, stuff like that, where she's like, she cursed him when she was in high school. And she's ashamed of that curse, but that curse is still there. And I love this idea, like this banter, this sizzling fire, and they're denying it's themselves. That's like what I love about romance, is like the tension of like, we're denying that we may have feelings, and you're like, but you're gonna explode. And you this absolutely. Literally exploding. So I love this. I think this is a great book for holiday reading for people that are looking for something cute escape. Don't be worried about the witchy, paranormal, supernatural. I think it's really for someone who is new to that genre. This is a great entry point because it's set in such a real world consequences. It's real world space. It feels like a Hallmark movie, just with the magic itself.
Yeah, it's definitely a light touch of the magic. And so I do think there's enough that people who want the magic will find it there. But that I agree. I do think that like for people who just love contemporary holiday romance, I think it's so grounded. Like so much of the conflict is grounded in real human problems. It's yeah. There's not like a big, there's not magical hijinks that you, that they're trying to overcome. Like the, all of the conflicts are rooted in interpersonal and human to human problems. And the characters are really rooted, the character journeys are really rooted in there too. So I do think it's something that can appeal, hopefully, that's my hope too. Yeah. To people who like both, or I mean, people who like one or the other, or people who like both. So.
Yeah, I think this is like a good escape. And we celebrate Yule, and like, you know, we don't get enough Yule books. We read as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So talk to me about what books do you tend to read. Do you read like contemporary, paranormal, or like not even related to romance or other genres per se? What books do you tend to read?
I tend to read basically all of the speculative genres, fantasy, sci-fi, horror, magical realist. But I also do read, I read most genres of romance and everything from contemporary to romantasy to paranormal. And then I also read a lot of, I guess, upmarket and literary fiction. So I'm usually bouncing between those. So I do like a lot of contemporary stories, and I think that comes through. But I also do, I love magic as well. And so,
Yeah, I think in this day and age, a little bit of magic would be fun just to have like a little curse or a little light spell just to do that, or just to look at different world in a different way, speculative or like the specific. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah, I was just talking about this one, so it's going to pop in my head because I was talking about The Ark with someone yesterday, which is Grayson Henry's Holiday Movie Marathon by Matthew Norman, another great Christmas book for this year. I also recently read Good Spirits by B.K. Borison. I loved that one. And another Dutton author's book that I just read, this is more of the upmarket, but The Peculiar Gift of July by Ashley Ream. That was a recent favorite. Gosh, what else? Oh, yes. The Witch's Guide to Magical Innkeeping. Anna's newest book. I didn't think I could love anything more than The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. And then I read this one and I was like, wow, I love it even more. And it's another one that's really great and cozy, but also has a really good message for the time we find ourselves living in.
Yes, I agree. And I love Sengu's first book. You're the second author this week who has said you need to read the second book because it's even better than the first book. I don't know how that can top it off.
I know. I just said it and I don't know how. yet I did love it even more.
I think it's a cozy aspect of it. I think it's a companion to your book in some ways. Like it's the same rooted in that cozy space. So Vernon, tell us where you can find you online.
Yeah, I'm most active, especially as a writer on Instagram. That's probably where most of my latest and greatest updates usually are. If you mostly just want to hear me ranting at the sky, you could follow me on Blue Sky. And then I occasionally post TikToks, but most of the time, most of that content's still on Instagram. So I recommend my Instagram or also possibly my Substack. I'm trying to get better at that. And all of these links are available at my website at lockhartwrites.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Morgan, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.